this song. All right. Everybody got a paper? We'll finish up chapter 2. You ought to have a paper. It says Colossians 2, 11 on 17. It should be at the top of it. Everybody got one? Jane, hold your hand up, and Jonathan will bring you one. All right. Should be a front and a back to it. All right? Should be a front and a back to it. All right, we're in Colossians chapter 2. We'll apologize to Brother Rick from last week because I shunned him in reading Scripture and I didn't know it until after everything was over. And I don't want nothing between me and Brother Rick. I was looking at my Scripture instead of looking up. So he told me he's done over it now, so we'll see. All right. Hold your hand up. Hold up high. Jonathan will take care of you there. All right. Colossians chapter 2. We'll finish this chapter tonight. And then chapter 3 will make everybody mad. So, well, everybody. All right. Chapter 2. Chapter 2 is going to enlighten us. Chapter 3 is going to make everybody mad. All right. Because chapter 3 will be weekday religion instead of Sunday morning. All right. So when you read chapter 3 for your homework, remember that's Monday through Saturday religion, and that's not what we practice. We practice Sunday morning religion, but Colossians chapter 3 is weekday religion. All right, weekday Christianity. All right. All right. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come tonight. Lord, you're so wonderful. I'm excited about the reports of people getting saved. And Lord, every time somebody gets saved, I can't help but just wonder when's our people going to be next. Lord, I'm praying. I'm not giving up on them. I'm not going to quit praying for them. And I'm not going to quit praying for Billy and Bobby and Steve and Rick. And I'm not going to quit praying for Mike Johns. And I'm not going to quit praying for people, Lord, that's on the list. Mike Postlewaite and Lord, there's many. James Foster. And Lord, I'm not going to quit just because it looks like you're coming. I'm going to pray more. Lord, I believe you still save sinners. And Lord, I'm trusting you tonight. Now, Lord, cleanse my mind, my heart, touch me fresh, empower me tonight of the Holy Spirit the way you would want me to be empowered. May the Word of God be real to us. May we live it. Lord, please, I'm filthy, I'm no good in my own merit. Lord, I can do nothing. I'm a failure in so many ways. But Lord, you're great and wonderful. Cleanse me, I pray. Use me as you see fit. And I will praise you for it all in Jesus' name. And amen. Colossians chapter 2, let's look at it. We're going to go back up to verse 14 just to get back in our mind where we was at. All right, Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, blotting out the handwritings of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Then it goes on. Now that's the work of Christ on the cross. Now everything about Christianity is Christ, him suffering, bleeding, dying, resurrecting, ascending, coming again. It's all about Christ. He is God. We know that. He is the sinless Son of God. He come in the flesh as the Son of God, but he's God. He's 100% God. Verse 9 tells us that in him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We learn in verse 10 that we are complete in him. Everything is about Christ and his finished work. It is a finished work on the cross, and his resurrection triumphed over all the enemy, principality and power, and he showed he was victorious, all right? He was showed that. And now verse 16 says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of a new moon, or of a Sabbath day. We're not under the law. We're freed from the law. We're freed from the blotting out of the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, contrary to us. The law was against us. Everybody understand that? And grace is what freed us. The law never redeems. The law only judges. The law, there is no mercy in the law. There is death in the law. Alright, there's only mercy and grace through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that brings us right in. Now, verse 17, it says, which are of a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now, we pick up on verse 18 tonight. That's where we're at, verse 18. Now, let's remind ourselves now where we're at. We're in Colossians. Paul's writing is a prison epistle. He's writing to the church of Colossae. The reason of the letter is because there was some false doctrine that was trying to creep in, trying to take away from the preeminence of Christ. And Christ is all, that we don't need nothing else. Christ is enough. And He is enough. He's fully sufficient. We're complete in Him. He's fully sufficient. All right. And then there was things that was going on that people were being seduced by and deceived by. And some of them things was philosophy, mysticism, asceticism. They was things that was being put in their minds where they would not look to Christ, or they was adding on. Now listen to me tonight. There's things around us, just like they are that they were at Colossae, that people want to add on to Christ.
Yes.
And it's not, you don't add nothing. It's not Christ plus baptism. It's not Christ plus communion. It's not Christ plus good works. It's not Christ plus baptism, church membership. None of that is Christ and Him alone, by faith in Christ. If you add anything to that, then you take away from Christ, because you're trying to add yourself into it. And it there's no salvation. You can't do anything to get any closer to God, because you're complete in Him.
Amen.
All right, everybody understand that? Now, if you're saved, you can't get more of Him. You're complete in Him. You're not going to get extra. You're complete in Him. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 that we've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We're complete in Him. We've already got it. It's signed over. We have everything in Christ. And this is where people get sideways, because they don't have no part of it. It's by faith. We believe on Christ by faith. By faith, not works, but by faith. It's by grace through faith. It's offered us by grace. We accept it by faith, and God does all the work. And salvation is not between me and God. Salvation on the cross was between God and the Son, and the Son satisfied the Father. And when we put our faith in the Son, God forgives us for Christ's sake. Everybody understand? That's as simple as it gets. All right? That's as plain as it. And there's nothing else. It don't matter what denomination you are. Don't matter what you've been taught. If you've been taught anything contrary to that, then you've been taught contrary to the Scripture.
Yes.
Not contrary to me, but contrary to the Scripture. Because it says in Isaiah 53 that God was satisfied, that the Father was satisfied with the suffering of the Redeemer. And then He says in Ephesians chapter 4 that we are forgiven for Christ's sake.
Yes.
For Christ's sake. He's not forgiven me for my sake. He forgiven me for Him. My faith is not in Mark or Mark's works, but my faith then is placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is satisfied then with that. And He justifies me as if I had done everything right from the beginning.
Amen.
That's justification. It ain't that... I mean, it's like I've done it all right. Not just He's forgotten I've done it wrong. It's like I've done it all right. Everybody understand? That's how deep justification goes. Everybody follow me? Now, when we pick up at verse 18, it says, now here we have warnings again, and we have it listed there. We need to remember Paul. Now, Paul's writing about people who are trusting false doctrine, philosophy, vain deceits, traditions of men. Let me tell you something. This, just because we live in West Virginia, we're not the only place where there's traditions. Now, there are traditions in the Scripture that the Scripture has laid out that are biblical truths. All right? And them traditions we are to hold to, which are biblical truths. But not the traditions that people have made up. Okay? That tries to get people closer to God. And we're not going to go there and try to name a lot of them because we'd be here all night because we'll think about this and this and this one. All right? And traditions of men in churches have been made by man to control people. Yeah. To sanctify people on their standard. Right. Not on scriptural standard. Okay? And if it's manipulation, boy, as I said, if it's manipulation, then it's witchcraft.
Yes, that's right.
Understand that. And there is witchcraft in the church. Let's look here at verse 18, okay? We're gonna pick up here. It says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increases with increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." Now, Paul again, now he's warning here. He's warning about not to be deceived about the things that's going to try to replace, now listen carefully to me, the authority of the Scripture. That's where this is happening. He's wanting them to make sure we see that we have to stick to the authority of the Scripture.
Right.
All right? Now, I'm a Baptist. I'm not ashamed I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist because I believe the teaching of the Baptist church to be the closest to the New Testament church. That's why I'm a Baptist. But if there's anything that comes up in my belief or what I've been taught by traditions of men that is not scriptural, then I am wrong. Anything that you believe that is unscriptural, you are wrong. Okay? It don't matter how sincere we are, don't matter who taught it, if it don't line up with the Bible, then we are completely wrong. Okay? Everybody understand? We can be 99% right on most everything, but if we got a belief and 99% of it's right and 1% is unscriptural, then it's wrong. Okay? And that's what Paul is wanting people here at Colossae, the Christians here, to understand that. All right? Now, people are all the time, listen to me now, are all the time wanting to replace the authority of Scripture with feelings.
Yes.
All right? And superstitions.
Yes.
Well, I feel. Well, I think. Well, I believe. Well, what does the Bible say? Okay? Yeah, but that can't be right because... Yeah, but I know a man. Well, I know a woman. Now, I know the family. And I know the preacher. That done this and said that and done that. So? Mean nothing. I know a devil started in heaven. And I ain't going to listen to nothing he has to say. Okay? Everybody understand that? So, we got to be careful and make sure we pay attention to the Scripture. All right? And the Scripture only. Now, Paul warns of these three dangers. Let's see if we can find them here in verse 18. All right? False humility. All right? Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. All right? Trying to make oneself worthy of contact with the spiritual realm. All right? Trying to make yourself, with voluntary humility, trying to make yourself worthy. All right? Everybody understand that? Everybody understand what you're making yourself lowly, thinking you're going to be more spiritual because you feel more lowly walking in a spiritual realm. Does everybody follow me? Talk to me. All right? And then it brings in not only voluntary humility, but worshiping of angels. All right? If somebody tells you they saw an angel, avoid them because they're nutty. They're as nutty as a fruitcake. You say, well, I did. No, you didn't. I saw an angel. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. The revelation of the Scripture is complete.
Yes.
You hear me? There's no ghost. Your dead people didn't peck on your wind as a cardinal.
That's right.
Yeah, that's all right. But I, no, you didn't. You didn't. You eating too many onions before you go to bed.
That's right.
These things are not true. You don't be deceived. All right. There is a spiritual realm. There's a spiritual world that we don't understand and we don't want to get too involved other than the Holy Spirit of God. So we better be very careful. All right? Obsessed with spiritual things, not Christ. Okay? The worshiping of angels. All right? If you did see an angel and you bowed down to worship, you're wrong. Because we're not supposed to worship nobody but God. All right? But you ain't seeing them anyway. You ain't seeing your dead people walk through the hallways. You're not seeing your dead people hover over the grave. They're not speaking to you in a dream. Now listen to me. They don't speak to you in dreams. They don't. Well, I'm telling you, Paul's telling the church of Colossae to be very careful with the spiritual deceiving of the enemy. Okay? And then visions. Following leaders who base their teaching on visions. It goes on and says, worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. All right? False humility, worship of angels, and visions. All right? Now, there are leaders on your TV, all right, that base their teaching on visions and revelations. There's nothing else to be revealed. There's no new revelation. We have the complete Scripture. And Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland and Greg Locke. Anybody here in the church know who Greg Locke is? Huh? He's an idiot. Let me say that plain. He's an idiot. Now him and his wife are both apostles. They've been prayed over, now they're new apostles, which is anti-scriptural.
Amen.
Okay? And because he's conservative, there's a lot of Baptists that want to run after him because he come out of an independent Baptist church and he's got a conservative, had a conservative forum, if you would, until he had an affair with his secretary and divorced his wife that nobody wants to talk about. And now pastor in the church. And now he's not a Baptist no more. Now he's an apostle. And you better be careful of Greg Locke.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen, preacher.
All right. That was for the ones downstairs. They ain't up here to hear it. So.
Yeah, good.
All right. Everybody still with me?
Yeah.
All right. Verse 19 then, we go on and says that Christ the head, and not holding the head, and not holding the head. All right, Christ the head is the right path in spirituality. If you want to be spiritual, get with Christ.
Amen.
All right? If you want to be spiritual, get with Christ. All right? It's the right path in spirituality. And it's still Christ alone. He's the head of the body, the church. Everybody still with me? Look back in chapter 1, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. All right, everybody still with me? Now, verse 19, it says, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, and knit together, increases with the increase of God. If you want your spirituality increased, it's going to have to be through Christ. It's not going to be through vain philosophies, traditions of men. It's not going to be by visions. It's not going to be by these modern day apostles and laying on the hands of people. Huh? It's not going to be by the traditions that we conjure up. And we conjure them up in a lot of ways. There's a lot of things to make us, try to make us more spiritual. All right? It's not going to do that. We adhere to the Word of God to be more spiritual. We filled with the Spirit of God to be more spiritual. And it's not us, our spirit, but it's His Spirit that lives in me, Christ in me, hope of glory that radiates. It's not me. I'm the moon. The light reflects in me, but it's His light that fills. All right? It's the fullness of Christ, not the fullness of Mark, but it's the fullness of Christ. Are we still okay? All right, now, let's look on now. Verse 20. It says, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ, Paul said, now, he's not questioning their salvation. He's telling because you're dead. Wherefore, if you've been dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?
Yeah, there you go.
Since we've died with Christ, since we're dead with Christ, since we died with Christ in this world, why would we think that man-made rules concerning things of this world will make us more spiritual? All right? Now, listen to me. If you do any of these things, okay. But if you're doing this to be more spiritual, you're wrong. Okay? If you want to be a vegetarian, go ahead. Alright? If you want to be a vegetarian, go ahead. Alright? If you want to be more healthy, that's fine. But if you think it's going to get you closer to God, you're wrong. Okay? Now, these are some modern day things that people do, okay? If you want to exercise, you go right ahead. You join these fitness clubs and you can run. You know, I always think of that old story that I heard when I was a kid about Mose and Liza went to the county fair. All he wanted to do was ride the merry-go-round. Yeah. He had saved up all year and saved him a quarter and got there and went straight to the merry-go-round. Paid his quarter, got on it, round and round and round and round and round and round he went. When it stopped, he got off and said, what do you think of that, Liza? She said, well, you worked all summer, got your quarter, give the man your quarter, got on the road, got off where you got on that. I reckon we'll go home. You got on where you got off where you got on, didn't accomplish nothing but going around in a circle. All right? Now, if you think bodily exercise is going to get you more spiritual, you go ahead and exercise, but it's not going to get you more spiritual.
Amen.
And you say, well, people don't believe it. Yes, they do. Hindus,
yeah.
Buddhists, cultists, okay? They do these things. The seven day Adventist in what they eat, and they're doing that to be closer to God. That's not scriptural. Christ is there's but one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. Okay, so that's the only way. Now, we're not downing people. We're just telling you these things. If you want to change your diet, go ahead. You want to do your exercise, fine. I believe Paul tells us that bodily exercise profits little. It'll profit a little bit as far as physical, but it ain't going to help you spiritually. Okay? All right? It focuses on temperance. Okay? Now, temperance is good. That's one of the gifts or one of the fruits of the Spirit, is it not? Temperance. Okay? But can I tell you that not doing something don't make you more spiritual?
Amen.
Everybody understand? Because you don't do something, don't make you more spiritual. Now, and I'm not throwing this at any denomination, just to show you. If I let Cheryl wear red shoes, it ain't gonna make her more unspiritual. She has on a red dress and red shoes.
Amen.
And there's independent Baptists that preach on women wearing red dresses and red shoes. Okay. Yeah. And if you wear your hair long, that's fine. And you can put it in a bun so it pulls your chin over your eyebrows and tighten it up so tight, but that ain't going to make you more spiritual. And your dress can be as long as a wedding dress and have a 6-foot train on it. And I'm glad you're modest and covered, but that ain't got nothing to do with your spirituality.
Amen.
Because you can be all of that and go to hell.
Amen.
Because it's faith in Christ.
Amen.
And these is what people has put on themselves through traditions and vain philosophies and out of the rhythms of the world for man's law instead of God's law, and a forgotten faith in Christ. And He is the preeminence of everything. It's Christ is the center, not anything else. All right? Everybody still with me? See, all of these things replace the authority of Scripture. Now, we're not against modesty. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm just saying, if that makes me more spiritual, then we're back on the works program, and we're off of grace, and we're off of faith in Christ, and then we're going to measure, all right, how short my hair going to be. All right, now, I got a flat top. Is your hair longer than mine? Well, if it is, then you got long hair. But wait a minute, Boyd and Rick ain't got no hair. And Dennis, so is that my standard for my hairstyle? Where do we go?
Yeah, there you go.
Everybody follow me? See, we better get back to Christ, that Christ is the center. And I believe that's where we failed all along, that Christ is no longer the center of our life. He's not the center of our priority. He's not the center of my spiritual life. He's not even the center of my secular life. Wait a minute. I'm a Christian. I ain't supposed to have a secular life. I was born again. I'm only supposed to have a spiritual life. I'm not supposed to live in a world in Christ both.
There you go.
But that's where we live, and that's why we have trouble balancing, and that's why we're carnal. Okay? Is everybody still with me? Secular orientations of yoga. If you want to do yoga, go ahead. And you can step with your legs crossed where you have to have somebody else to pick you up. And go, all you want. But that ain't going to make you more spiritual. Now, if every likes you, you go ahead. If somebody wants to tie you up in a knot, and you say that's relaxing, you go right ahead. But that's not going to make you more spiritual. Nor is it going to make you more spiritual going to a monastery and shaving your head and putting on a house coat and not talking to nobody for 50 years. All right? Nor an environmentalist. And we have the green people. If you're a green person, that's fine. If you want to be green, Kermit the Frog said it wasn't easy being green. All right? But hugging trees don't make you more spiritual. Then you say, well, Mark, nobody does it. Yes, this is what's brought in the churches. This is why churches protest. I'll go ahead and make a statement here. Churches ain't supposed to protest.
That's right.
We're supposed to line up with signs, and we're supposed to stand upon the Word of God and pray, preach.
Yeah, there you go. Amen.
Okay. All right. Colossians 2:21. touch not, taste not, handle not. These are the rules, you know. Don't eat fish. Don't eat pork. Okay. How many has been told that you shouldn't eat pork because the Jews didn't eat pork?
Oh yeah.
Anybody been told that? Okay. Don't eat pork. How many? You know anybody that don't eat pork because of that? I know. I had breakfast with one. All right. That he was a Haitian. And he don't believe in eating pork, and he ate the biggest side of bacon there ever was. But and I shouldn't say this, I will tell, but Dennis Legge told him that the bacon was pork. He loves it, and he never told him no different. All right? All right? But you know, you also can't eat shrimp. Can't eat catfish. You can't eat them bottom feeders. You can't eat none of that. All right. So I think I was going to eat a hog myself. But anyway, I'm telling you, this is what's been added to things, and it's the wisdom of the world instead of Christ. Do you understand? Wherefore, if you be dead, we're in verse 20, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men? Why do you do it? Because it'll perish with the commandments of men. It's not of God. Paul's saying, listen, if you want to do these things for your health, ain't nobody going to tell you that you shouldn't do that, you know. I like coffee, and you know what I say? Everybody says drink water, all right? But I always say, well, water's 90% in coffee. That's what's in 90% of coffee is water. All right, and we laugh and we say that, but and then I also say this, you know, drinking water will kill you. Water will kill you. Did you not know that? Water will kill you. You ever heard anybody drowning in coffee? What are they drowned in? 100% of people drown. They drown in water. Water will kill you then, right? Now, wouldn't that be foolish if I got and said this is the truth? Now you gonna be more spiritual. Don't you drink water? It'll kill you. And I got proof. I don't know anybody. I've not read in the paper where anybody drowns in coffee or Dr. Pepper. All I'm drowned in water. And everybody said, drink water, preacher. Drink water, preacher. I think of you. They want me to kill me. Huh? You say, well, that's what I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be really foolish here. Because I want us to see all these things. And you say, that's not incorporated in church. Yes, it is. It's incorporated in church everywhere. And not cultist churches. I'm talking about Baptist churches. I'm talking about people we got that we raised up around and places we went that incorporate things that take away from the authority of Scripture in Christ. Hear me. Anything that takes away from our Savior is wrong. Anything that gets somebody to look at me instead of Him is wrong. Anything I do that praises me and not Him is wrong. Anything that I'm trusting apart from Christ is wrong. Christ has the preeminence over everything. He's number one. Huh? Think about that. Everybody still with me? Now verse 21 and 22. Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Now these are the man-made rules. They cannot add or replace Christ. Now let's look at verse 23 and we'll finish up this chapter. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Now these things have an appearance of wisdom, but they do nothing to control the desires of the flesh. Are you hearing me? Now, we even need to be careful in fasting. Because fasting can get preeminence over Christ.
Yes.
Let me tell you what will make me stay out of the world. Christ. Not me not eating.
Amen.
You know what will get me closer to God is spending more time with Him. Not skipping breakfast. Now, can I skip breakfast? Yeah, I can still fast. I can fast. And there's times to fast. The Bible speaks of it. The Bible says when you fast. Christ said when you fast. Not if you do, but when you do. Okay? So fasting is as important as reading your Bible and praying. Let me say that again. Fasting is just as important as reading your Bible and praying. But it's scripturally speaking. Okay? But we got to be careful that the exercising and all these things is not to gain me a closer place beside Christ because I'm complete in Christ. Do we understand that?
Yes, sir.
I'm complete in Christ. And these things may not be wrong to do, but it's not replacing Christ. That's what Paul's teaching here. Does everybody understand that? Now, again, Christ in the new nature, the new life that Christ gave me, that's what's going to help me tonight. So that's chapter 2. It's best I can give you. So what do we see? Christ has the preeminence above anyone or any other belief. Since we receive Christ Jesus the Lord, He tells us to walk in Him. We can rest in the sufficiency of Christ. We can thank God for His complete forgiveness and victory over Satan by the cross and empty tomb. And beware of false doctrine and lift man up instead of Christ. That's what's in chapter 2. That's the best I can give you. We'll pick up chapter 3 next week. Read chapter 3. Read it every day before next Wednesday. All right? Read it every day. And we'll find out that chapter 3 is not for schmoes. All right? Sunday morning only. That's what a schmo is. It's Sunday morning only. It's not chapter 3 for everyday Christian.
Amen.
Father, thank You for a sure word. In Jesus' name, amen.